Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's actually a TikTok trend about using lubricant under your foundation to help your foundation like set more. I saw that.
Like a setting spray, but setting spray but lube.
Yeah.
Welcome to Figuring Out 30. This is a podcast exploring the chaos, confusion, and clarity of life in our 30s. I'm Bridget Huswaite, and I feel like this episode has been a really long time coming. I've been wanting to do a whole episode on sex for ages, and I've been meaning to chat to the incredible Rachel Baker from Libido for a really long time, so I'm stoked we could make this happen. She popped around to my house, and we had such a great conversation. Really got to know Rachel's amazing company, which is called Libido, so LBDO, and it is pretty much your one-stop shop for all things sexual pleasure. Like, you can get the most amazing, beautiful essential lubes and oils and vibrators, and I loved hearing how this company, how this brand came to be, because Rachel essentially launched this small business in the midst of COVID lockdowns in Melbourne, which is a pretty hectic thing to do, but she's absolutely killing it. And I was so fascinated to hear, I guess, her reasonings for doing so. And also just like one thing that we never think about really with sexual products. And when we think of like lubes and oils, the kinds of ingredients that are going into these things that then we are essentially putting into us. You know what I mean? So we dive into that. We hear all about libido. We also talk about the pleasure gap, which is a very real thing that exists. We talk about postpartum sex, newly single sex. We talk about erogenous zones, even the different types of erections, which I didn't know, and essentially why it's never too late to start having the sex that you want and deserve. We share some of our own personal experiences too, in the hopes of just, you know, helping to, I guess, broaden our idea of what sex is and what pleasure is, because it really does mean something different to each person. It is so individualized. And that is honestly something that I think a lot of people come to realize in our 30s. So we kind of reflect on what sex was like in our 20s as to what it is like now in our early 30s, which I thought was really cool. We also learn a bit more about Rachel and her own transition into her 30s, because it's been a pretty wild time with, you know, some major family heartbreak, which she'll tell you all about. So let's get into it. It's Figuring Out 30, Dirty 30 edition with Rachel Baker. Rach, welcome to Figuring Out 30.
Thanks, Bridget. So excited to be here.
Yes, it's a beautiful, sunny Friday. Daisy's whimpering next to me. Nature is healing, actually. It's going to come up.
So nice. We've got like a raspberry pistachio pastry, which Daisy is getting stuck into.
And also there may be, yeah, a subtle music bed in the background at some point, because right before Rach came over, I never see tradies, and then through the windows I see this shirtless dude on a roof with a man bun and just a gentle doof doof doof, because it's Friday, so that might be a bit of a music bed.
We've
to
got our
conversation.
Eyes peeled to see if he's coming back.
Yeah, but really bringing the vibe, as are you, because this whole episode is pretty much about sexual wellness, and I guess we'll be talking about dirty 30s, whether it's
dirty
a thing.
30s and pleasure.
Yes, of course. And we'll hear about your amazing company as well that you launched during lockdown. You do say it as Libido, right?
Yeah, Libido.
So yep. It's like LBDO.
Pronounced Libido though. Yeah. People get confused, but definitely Libido. Yeah.
And you turned 30 this year.
I did.
So welcome to the club.
I know.
How was it?
Oh, I always bring my birthday in on the 1st of January. So I'm a New Year's Day
baby.
Are you?
Oh,
yes.
God.
So it's always, it's an interesting birthday. Yeah. It's always like Happy New Year's and then, oh, happy birthday. But it's always a good way for me to reflect on the previous year.
Don't I feel you love like, doing that?
Yeah. Like the resolutions, all that. I'm like, oh, what do I want for the year? But 30s have been, we were just chatting about this offline. It's been like a wild crazy, hectic time for me. Yeah, I actually lost both my parents to cancer in the last 7 years, and my dad only 4 months ago now. So yeah, that's been like the start of my 30s and just navigating all that pain and grief while also trying to build my career and dedicate my like life to pleasure when I'm carrying so much pain as well.
Oh my God,
it's like
that
such a
balance.
Weird concept. Yeah.
What a conflict.
It's a major conflict, and it's something I'm like working through, but I think it's just like we as humans can hold both of those things at the same time, and we can experience pleasure while carrying so much pain as well. So yeah, it's been 30s is yeah, it's been hard, but it's also I feel more like confident in who I am and myself as well. I don't know if you feel that as well. As we go into our 30s and we get older, we have new experiences and we just start to understand ourselves more. And yeah, I definitely feel that in myself. And I'm just pumped as well, like with my business, so passionate about this space, about sexual wellness and pleasure.
Gosh, I mean, my hardships are not to the degree as to what you've experienced. So it's such a very sobering and eye-opening thing to kind of learn of what you've gone through the 7 years in between the passing of your parents. I mean, because you would feel like that you're going through grief and then you're learning how to manage it, and then you go through it again and, you know, it would hit different. Like, it doesn't mean you get better at it, I suppose.
No, you don't. Yeah. And it's been, I guess...
Or it gets easier rather. Like, it's not easier the second time
easier. It's probably, it's harder because it's like an accumulation of feelings. Yeah. But it does feel really different when I think back to myself in my 20s. I was at a stage like early 20s where I was still figuring out who I was as a person. Totally. My friends, like, we were so much even more social back then. We were partying a lot. And just like... I don't know, there was this conflict of like I wanted to explore myself and my sexuality and have all these new experiences and be with my friends, but then I was dealing with the grief of my mum being in hospital and going to visit her in palliative care. And then now being in my 30s, I felt like I've just been like rebuilding my life and myself, and I'd just gotten to a stage where I was like taking a breath.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Just to be like brought all the way back down to that grief now. But it is interesting to kind of reflect on my 20s versus my 30s now and how I feel. Like, I still feel like a lot more sure of who I am, and I feel these feelings are like quite familiar, so that's also an interesting thing. Like, you know, I know how to work through my grief and my pain and all of that.
I mean, your resilience as well, like coming to really understand your strength and resilience in these times too. I'm really kind of stuck on I'm so fascinated, like what you mentioned is such an incredible point. Yeah, balancing the pleasure and pain of it all. And I guess stemming back to the origins of libido, because you launched during the midst of lockdown. What was that like to just kind of, you know, think I'm going to launch this and I'm going to do it now?
Like, gosh, yeah, I know. Thinking back to lockdown, also like a wild time for everyone. But yeah, I launched Libido. At the time I was working, it was Melbourne's fourth lockdown. And
so this is at the start of 2021.
And I was working at L'Oreal at the time in a PR and communications role. And I'd kind of spent most of my career in the beauty and wellness space. And just naturally, like with all the lockdowns and having more time to myself to think, I just started to reevaluate what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And looking at the whole beauty industry, I just saw that when it came to sexual wellness products, like we were still really lagging behind in terms of the quality of the products. It was a really unregulated space.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the most intimate areas of our body, but still we were using products potentially off a supermarket shelf that weren't pH balanced or whatever it might be.
And we're like putting shit in us.
exactly. And so, it also was like based on my experiences within my 20s of, you know, exploring myself naturally, a bit more curious, having more conversations with my friends and going into different sex stores and... Just have you ever been into it? Like one of those
In Ballarat where I grew up, there was, I mean, there's obviously Club X and stuff, but Club X is on a really public street, I guess a very busy street. So everyone would always be kind of like a bit scared to go in there, but there was a massive like kind of
shed warehouse sex shop in one of the industrial estates, and I used to always go there to get my lube. And it was like a strawberry or a cherry one, but like now always I'm flavored. Thinking always flavored. But then just what you said about the ingredients and stuff, like especially in your 20s, like you don't actually think about the quality
of
and
them.
What you're actually consuming. And I don't think that would have been a particularly good one.
Yeah, I know. The more I started to research, I was like, oh, shit, this is like, it's a really unregulated industry. And so because, you know, it's always been seen as shameful and dirty. We haven't really put any of our energy or efforts into this space. So, you know, those glow-in-the-dark lubes that you'd hide at the bottom of your drawer. I basically just like saw an opportunity for really beautiful and elevated sexual wellness products that you could leave on your bedside table.
Yes.
You don't have to hide them at the bottom of your drawer. They can sit next to your skincare, your fragrance, but they don't compromise on the quality of the ingredients.
And you just got to make sure that you don't confuse them. So you're not putting lube on your face as a serum or something, like a jelly cleanser.
There's actually a TikTok trend about using lubricant under your foundation to help your foundation like set more. I saw that.
Like a setting spray, but setting spray lube.
Yeah, or using lube as like hair gel. I don't recommend it, but like it's...
I mean, everyone's doing a sleek bath, so...
Exactly. I mean, it probably works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, just thinking back to my experiences like growing up as well, what led me to like start, you know, doing more research in this space. My mum, who I mentioned, who passed away from cancer, she was actually a couples therapist.
Oh my God, cool.
Yeah, and a family therapist as well. So growing up, like she would always speak to us about different like attachment styles you know, like relationships. And she would say that, you know, relationships are a mix of like chance and choice, and we have to put in a lot of work in our relationships and choose to, you know, show up every day. And and she always cultivated this really like safe space for me and my siblings to ask questions. And, you know, nothing ever felt like it was too taboo. And she also like gave us a sense of independence as well to feel really comfortable to explore ourselves. But when we needed to, we could go to her. And I think a huge part of what I'm trying to do with Libido, it's so much more than the products that we have. It's actually creating that safe space for people to come and explore themselves, explore their sexuality, to
learn
and to maybe unlearn things that they learned in school. And so that's my mission, just to normalize the conversation and remind people that it's okay to feel really good about feeling good, and just to break down those stigmas and taboos that we've been taught for so long.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. And I love seeing the bottles there and stuff. They are so aesthetic. Like you could totally put them on your bedside table and you don't need to, like, it would be criminal to, you know, put them in a drawer. Like,
to hide them.
No. That's so cool about your mum. So when she was still around, were you even thinking about, like, had the seed been planted about launching this?
No, definitely hadn't. I think it was more like the accumulation of events, like just being exposed to that.
She'd be so proud.
Think of that. Yeah. Yeah, I draw a lot of my inspiration from her. She would always speak to me about, do you know Esther Perel?
Yeah.
So she, like, Esther Perel was her role model always. And this was like years and years ago. She would go to all her conferences and she'd come and speak to me about Esther Perel and all of that. And then
OG.
Yeah, she's like OG. So that's where I draw a lot of my inspiration from as well. I love her work and everything.
You're destined to be in this space.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, going back to that, like pain and pleasure, it's like we can experience so many different emotions at once. And I think why I've almost like chosen to dedicate this career to pleasure is like I know what real pleasure feels like because I've also experienced like what real pain and suffering feels like as well. And I just see the importance of making that time for things that feel good in whatever way it is for you. Like it could be just having a chat with friends is, you know, catching up, or it could be like self-love and giving yourself a massage. There are so many different ways that we can access pleasure.
Yeah. It's so important to redefine it, to kind of strip it back and see that it is, what's the word, like multifaceted, I suppose.
Yeah,
like it's not just sticking a dick in.
Yeah, no, you know, you're
like,
right.
I feel like growing up, that's like
completely
what everyone was taught.
Yes.
Right? How cooked is that?
Yeah, no,
stick a dick in. Oh, my God. There's the intro for the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're only in your first year of your 30s. I'm 32, so a couple of years in. But it's interesting. With by the second. Yeah. But it is interesting kind of looking back on, the sexual journey and education and conversation. And I've never felt confident sexually, I guess, probably up until now, a bit more sure of myself in terms of just communicating what I like with my partner. And, you know, we've only been together for just over 18 months. And prior to that, I was in a 5-year relationship then. But I look back at that relationship and I think of just how, sexually wasn't confident in talking so openly. It's crazy to think of how different things are in your 20s, like when you talk about this stuff.
So different. Yeah. And I think you're right. It is such a journey. There's no like end goal we're trying to get to in our sexual wellness journey. It's more about like the experience of getting there and what you learn along the way. And it's important to understand that everyone's on their own journey and there's, you know, where you are is where you are right now and can be because of different experiences.
Yeah. Well, even having like endo, like I think
your experience
huge...
with endo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A huge thing.
You know, your cultural background as well can play such a big impact on where you are in your sexual wellness journey, religious background. So I think it's just having these conversations, exposing yourself more to the education around the importance of pleasure and the benefits of sexual wellness and pleasure as well. I think looking back to like 20s and I had been in long-term relationships, whoever's listening, but like had never had an orgasm before, like until my most recent like relationships, wow. Like for the last 7 years or so. And I think I always thought there was something wrong with me because I couldn't orgasm from penetration. And I've learnt now that it's like, no, I didn't know how to communicate that to a partner, but also, my pleasure was never made to be a priority.
Mm.
It was always like the focus of my sexual experiences, especially in my 20s, was always on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
How
do we change that though? Because I feel like as women, we are getting so much, we are like so good and getting better at talking about like we're having these podcast episodes and talking about how we can embrace our sexual wellness. And that's so great for us to open up that conversation, but the responsibility, and this is in the scope of heterosexual relationships more so, just to acknowledge that, but what do men need to do, do you reckon? Like, I feel like they're not creating, like, I mean, I could be wrong and I could be hell skeptical, but I can't say I've seen like, male podcasts. Actually, I have seen the Inspired Unemployed chat to Georgia Grace and do an episode on sex, but like, shouldn't they be doing more work?
Yes, I agree with that. I think,
it's like a gender gap in sexual pleasure.
It is. Right? There's actually a pleasure gap. The pleasure gap, which refers to the disparity between men and women in heterosexual relationships when it comes to sexual pleasure.
Hell, let's get into that.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's a real thing where, you know, men can achieve pleasure and orgasm much more than women can. And I think there's a lot of work that we need to do in terms of like education and talking about that more and understanding that our pleasure has never been the priority. It's always been in movies and TV and porn. It's always been focused on the man and the big event being the ejaculation at the end. And as soon as he climaxes, it's like end of scene, cut. Like that's it. And that's going back to why I thought there was something wrong with me because I couldn't orgasm quick enough because I'd always watched women in porn like orgasming straight away, but also I just thought it wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now I'm in my 30s and I'm having the best sex of my life because
so dirty 30s.
Dirty 30s are a thing because I'm communicating what I want and my partner wants to pleasure me and it's on both of us to be equal. We've introduced sex toys into the bedroom because it just makes me orgasm that way and it makes it equal for both of us and we don't finish until we're both finished.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just so much better.
That's so good.
Yeah. And I kind of wish that someone would have told me that when I was in my 20s.
I know. I feel like the only person who may have was Samantha Jones on Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
You know, I feel an icon. Like she has been truly a pioneer in terms of just general like dating as an older woman and yes, sex in your 30s. So when I look back, I think of, she was really like the only
OG.
And like to think that's just like a character as well, like a fictional character. Isn't that?
And she like normalized bringing the rabbit vibrator in like the, So yeah, I do wish that we had more conversations. And I think for anyone who is listening, who is maybe a bit younger, like going into their 30s, it is just important to, you know that it can get better, and it's about like communication and always having that open dialogue with your sexual partners. But a good place to start always is with yourself as well, and getting to know your body and your desires on your own.
I feel like that's such a huge part of your 30s anyway, like where you do kind of take a step back and think, what do I want in life? Who am I? Like, what do I want to bring into the relationships? And also like from personal experience, when I came out of like a 5-year relationship, and spent like my, I had like my personal debrief, and I was like thinking about, what I wanted to bring into the next chapter of my life. And a lot of it is self-love too, and like to start there, and in terms of like your emotions and of course your sexual wellness too. I think you, kind of get that, like this clarity kind of just pops up, where you're thinking, what do I really want? So don't be afraid to like take that time and like
get to know yourself.
Exactly.
And it doesn't like, it can look like, you know, self-pleasure, but it can also look like wearing something that makes you feel really sexy. It could be like listening to a sexy playlist as well to get you in the mood.
Go to one of those classes. Like, I want to go. There is one out near the airport. I keep forgetting their name, but I've been like bookmarking their TikToks, and they do like full sexy dancing where you wear like knee pads and heels and stuff. And I think I saw is it Kayla? No, not Kayla. It was Ashley Bynes, I think, who did one. And I saw her video, and I was like, I need that in Melbourne. Like, because I want to dance like that and feel and look sexy doing these moves. Completely. I'm so not coordinated.
You just see me jumping over that little USB thing before. I'm like, not coordinated at all. But
that stuff, embracing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
so you think, do you think 30s is our sexual prime, would you say?
I think we're having better sex in our 30s.
Yeah.
You know, I think it differs on such an individual level. I think women especially, I think, you know, a lot of us in our 30s are a lot more time poor or stressed because of career or kids and all of those, you know, really big challenges that come with being like in your 30s and as you go into your 40s and all of that. But I do think we're advocating for better sex, and we understand our bodies more. And so I think in that sense, we're in our sexual prime. And I think we start to see like men more in their 20s, like that's when they're in their sexual prime. And as they go into their 30s, like our levels kind of equal a little bit.
It's really interesting. One thing that I was thinking about with, you know, dirty 30s, when I turned 30 and coming out of that relationship, I was like, I'm going to have all the sex, like all the casual sex. But then we had like 3 lockdowns in 2021. So didn't quite happen. But I also realized that that kind of maybe wasn't for me. And it actually was kind of hard to, not hard to accept, but I was really surprised. It was almost like I thought that I needed to do those things, but I was like, I just I don't know if I'm too selective. It's something about just bringing someone back to my place or going to theirs. And I don't know, I just wasn't at that point where I was like, that casual kind of sex thing is for me. It's really interesting when you, you think that you should be going out to do that stuff. So look, there was a lot of 2021, I built my treasure chest of sex toys.
Love it.
So that's where I was at. But do you feel like, that would be maybe a common thing? I'm just trying to think of the people who, like sex in relationships, sex as just like casual sex, someone maybe who's just gone out of a relationship and they just don't know how to navigate sex because they might think that they have to just go
definitely
out and just bang randoms.
Yeah, I think there's like a societal pressure that, you know, and even just amongst your friends as well, or you speak to people and you're like thinking like, how much sex are they having? Is how much sex I'm having enough, or is it too much, or whatever it is? And I think
when people
talk
about their dry spells, like I remember someone said to me that they didn't have sex for like 4 months, and I was like, it's been a year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, you're fine.
I'm so embarrassed to even say that.
Like, but it's like, no, there's no playbook. There's no normal. It's just everyone, again, is like on their own journey, and there's no right or wrong place to be. So just take that pressure off yourself. And, you know, I think sex can look really different for everyone, and it's not just one way to have sex. It's
exactly.
Like, you know, we've always been taught it's about penetration, but there's so many other ways to be intimate with yourself and with your partner. And even if you're not into it, that's fine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
As well, you know, there's a lot of like asexual people in our community as well.
Yeah.
So I think just go easy on yourself.
Totally.
Because there's so much pressure. And
it's just like about constantly checking in with what you want and how does something make you feel.
Yeah.
I think it's the important thing to just kind of always go back to those.
Exactly. What things. You want, not what society tells you that you should be doing or not what your friends are doing. It's like what feels right for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have so many amazing blog posts on the Libido website, which, amazing resource, and I'll pop some of them in the show notes of this episode. I want to cover some try and cover the basis of I'm trying to think of people in their 30s. So I mean, when I think of my friendship circles, it's funny, I don't have any friends in Melbourne who have kids, but back home in Ballarat, most of my friends have kids. And I wouldn't usually ask this because I'm so focused on like myself as someone who doesn't have children, but and I mean, you don't have a child either, but working in this space, postpartum sex could be like how would pregnancy and sex and then postpartum, like, I mean, I'm not in that world yet, but I think about that with my friends who are, and I don't want to go out and interrogate them, but do you have any, I guess, tips or insights there on how those people can kind of navigate it? Because they might be just like listening and thinking like, I'm not seen in this conversation.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a good question.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. Yeah. I'm like you. I mean, I don't have kids, but we have so many amazing, beautiful mums in our community who I speak to a lot. And I think, as always with these things, like your experience is your experience. Mm. Always, you know, go see a health professional who understands your own experience. But just, I think the first thing is like, easing back into things, you know, you've gone through something so significant. There's usually like a responsible break before you go back to having penetrative sex, and that's like a four to six week period.
Right.
Yeah. And so
even after my endo surgery, so like you can't have sex for like 6 weeks.
Oh wow.
And the
yeah.
first one I couldn't have sex for, it was like 3 months.
Oh wow.
Until
yeah.
I could like that and it was painless.
Yeah, it didn't hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, after you'll usually have like a consult with your doctor after around the 6 week mark, and they'll examine you and see, you know, how is it safe for you to go back to having penetrative sex. And I think at that point, the question that I would be asking myself in that situation, and maybe you did this as well after your endo surgery, is like, okay, if I'm physically ready, and that's what my doctor's telling me, but how am I feeling emotionally and mentally?
Especially because when you've got a kid too, because you're probably the last thing for that you're thinking about is like, wanting to have sex, because you're just trying to like, you know, keep this kid alive.
Totally, yeah. And you've gone through like something so significant in your life, like childbirth, and, you know, postpartum depression and anxiety is also really common.
Forming a new identity as a
new identity,
parent.
Your hormones are changing as well. You've maybe like body related changes as well. Like it's just, you know, discovering this new body of yours as well. So I think, you know, there are also other ways to have sex, as we kind of mentioned before. And it's like you could start exploring different erogenous zones.
Yeah, love me erogenous
zones. Yes, exactly. So
get on the neck.
Yeah, the neck, yes. So, you know, more like outer course, and an erogenous zone is an area with a concentrated set of nerves that can produce an arousing
a tingle.
Yeah, a tingle, yes. So, you know, it doesn't have to be about penetration, but, you know, when you are feeling like ready for that, just take it at your own pace, go slow. I think
we really underestimate the emotional influence, don't we?
Yes.
Like that needs to be so in sync.
You know, your brain is your largest sexual organ. So, so much of, you know, how we're feeling is actually related to what's going on in our mind. So I think also it's really common, or like at many times in your life, but especially through a significant experience like childbirth, for you and your partner or partners to have fluctuating levels of desire.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just about really having that open communication and acknowledging that with your partner, naming it, and then being able to talk through that together. And then when you are ready, to just take things slow, like use a lot of lube.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after, you know, during postpartum sex, our hormones drop. So our estrogen levels become lower. And so then vaginal dryness is a lot more common. So, you know, important to invest in like a natural lubricant as well. I think just speak to your doctor to see, you know, what's right for you in that circumstance.
But don't ignore the emotional side of things.
Exactly.
And even when you're experiencing such body changes, like I'm sure so many people, especially if they're birthing, will be like, will think differently about their bodies. And I'm sure, unfortunately, there would be like, I think it's safe to assume that there'd be a lot of negativity and just like mourning what you used to look like.
Or, you know, getting
to know your new self.
Exactly. And a lot of like sex therapists and sexologists can help as well with that emotional side. We have amazing ones in Australia. If anyone needs a recommendation as well, like I think, hope those tips help.
I think so. For me, it's so fascinating just to know, kind of know more about this stuff as someone who doesn't even have a kid yet. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, Rach, but like how far into the pregnancy can you not have sex? Like, do you know?
I think it varies, and best to consult a doctor with this, because for most low risk pregnancies, it can be really safe to have sex and can be an amazing like stress relief as well, and a good way to stay in touch with your body while you're pregnant. But I think, you know, everyone's different. So, you know, if you start to notice like bleeding or discomfort, you know, really important to, you know, check in with a health professional. I don't know the exact time. So I think it will vary for different people and depending on the level of risk involved in their pregnancies. But
anyone
something important actually,
will,
like to keep your toys clean during pregnancy if you are using toys.
And in general.
And in general, obviously in general, especially when you're pregnant.
So how are we keeping them clean? Like are we using, should we be using like your regular hand soap or just like warm water? What's the best way to maintain our toys?
Yeah, just like warm water and maybe a natural soap. Just give it a good wash. Our essential vibe is waterproof. So you can use it in the bath or shower.
In the shower.
Yeah.
Oh my God, bath.
I know, the bath is really good. Can confirm. Bath is, I recommend.
Yeah, okay, cool. So and are we meant to be washing them after each use?
Yeah, ideally after every use.
Yeah.
Just quick rinse and pop it back in your little bag that it comes in just to keep it away from dust and or leave it out on display on your bedside table.
Yeah,
as well.
A lot of proud.
Yes.
So another thing that I think a lot of people are still experiencing and, you know, across their 20s, even in their 30s, is still living in a share house and navigating like sexy time. Probably I think I'd say more so in the context of self-love.
Yes.
And like using your toys, knowing that your housemate's in the next room. Like
it's hard.
Yeah.
It can be challenging. Yeah.
How have you ever heard of any crazy stories of like people like?
Yes. I mean, well, I've lived in a share house, I think for the last 8 years or so, and different share houses as well, and all kinds of combinations. Like I've lived with randoms, I've lived with another couple, I've lived with like a whole bunch of my girlfriends, and most recently I've been living with my husband and my best friend.
Oh, wow.
And so we've been living together for the last 2 years. She actually just moved out like a month ago to go travel a bit.
But
we know that it's really hard to get privacy when you're living in a share house.
Well, I mean,
especially
cost of living though, everyone's still living in share houses.
Yeah.
Like it's more common than ever.
I love it as well. I get the best of both worlds. Yeah. I was like, got my bestie in one room and my partner there. I'm like, whoa, like for me, there's nothing better.
Yeah, one stop shop.
It's so fun. But, you know, everyone's different. But I think, you know, especially in the inner north, like the walls paper thin. It's like, so you do hear everything. I once had this roommate, this was a few years ago now, and I kid you not, every single night, it was a random, he came home with a new girl.
Really?
Every single night, and the walls were paper thin, and he, having sex, and I just went to bed like with the noise of this like lullaby of like moaning every night. And I, after a while, like it was funny at the beginning a bit and, you know, but after a while I was like, oh my God, I'm falling asleep to this every night. So I think just like, you know, it's important to be respectful of your roommates.
Did you ever have to have a conversation with him?
Nah, because I'd come into that house, like it was already an established house and I kind of come in after. So I was just like, I ended up moving out after a bit of time anyway. Yeah. But I think, you know, I've heard people, we did an article on this and interviewed different people, and some people said, yeah, some people said that they put up boundaries. So they're like, you know, if my door's shut, please knock before you come in. And if you choose to just come in, like, that's on you if you make it awkward. Like, you have to own that if it's awkward. You know, we're at a stage now. I mean, I am where it's like I've normalized the conversation. If you hear, as in our vibrator's quiet, so, you know, you can't hear anything if you're using a vibrator. But I think, you know, as long as you're doing it in privacy and in the space of your room and, yeah, someone said in that interview that, you know, you're allowed to have like one really loud, like howling orgasm once in a blue moon. Not all the time, but just like.
It's like your whole pass.
Yeah, your whole pass, exactly. Yeah.
It's but funny.
Privacy goes out the window when you're in a share house, I
think. Yeah, like, it does. It is like, yeah, it comes with the territory,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So Rach was so kind and gifted me these products, and I've held on to them for a bit because I wanted them in the video of this podcast.
I can't believe you didn't use them I wanted to hear your thoughts.
I didn't want to like whip out the vibrator and then like put it back in the
you're
box.
You're in for a treat this afternoon. It's seriously, people say they've had the best orgasm of their life using this vibrator.
Really?
And it's really powerful.
It's so pretty, and it's like I'm usually more of a bullet girl, but this is kind of giving like, I mean, how would you describe the
nicknamed
shape?
It as a pear.
It
kind of looks like
a
teardrop.
It is a teardrop.
But yeah, it's designed for external use, so to be used on your clitoris or on erogenous zone.
Yep.
And yeah, different like levels and speeds to play around with as well. I mentioned it's waterproof, so that's always a fun time in the bath or shower.
It's cool to know that it doesn't have to just be like there are so many different ways to use a vibrator.
Yeah, there are, and I think you know it's not an invasive, like really veiny big dildo.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that, like bright purple, bright pink. It's like a really soft way to explore yourself and explore your body, and a great tool to get more in touch with yourself. And
so when you're in the, you know, process of creating and designing a vibrator, and I guess, yeah, in terms of picking a color, so what are we ticking off, and why did you, because this is a really nice kind of neutral, it's like a light gray
this
almost.
Stone color.
Stone.
Yeah. And we've got lilac and coral. So lilac's that, you know, more lavendery color, and coral's that beautiful red. And I think we did a lot of research. So that was like a big part before launching the business, like just speaking to so many people and hearing what they wanted in a vibrator, what they felt was lacking. And the overwhelming feedback was the same, that people wanted products that looked beautiful, but also didn't compromise on the functionality as well and the quality of the product. And so that was our mission, like to, and our challenge to design something that you'd be proud to leave out on display, but
because a lot of them can look really tacky, right?
Yeah, but also like you need it to work, and this works. So
I'm excited to use it.
Yeah, and I think you know the colors. You know, we wanted more of those neutral colors, and you know, wanted to veer away from that like bright pink and purples that we see a lot in like those, you know, more old school sex stores and.
Because it's also really like, isn't it funny how those colors kind of lend in? Like how gendered they can be, like bleeding through into sex toys. Like when we think about like baby products and stuff. And when you even go into sex shops and see like it's either blue or purple or pink.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's like a lot of those products were designed by men for women. And it's like, you know, now it's like, well, you know, we design it with a team of amazing women and sexologists to make sure they're really ergonomic as well, but also with experts and designers to make sure that it looks like a really beautiful shape. We're actually going through that process again now to.
Oh, really? For a new product?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh my God, so, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
What about, I think in our 30s is to when, again, different for everyone, but I'm thinking more so of the people who are in relationships and they've gone past what they call the honeymoon phase, whether or not if that's a real thing. I mean, for some people, I'm sure it is, for others, I'm sure it isn't. But I guess kind of maintaining or making sex great again, like how, because I feel like some people would be in a position where they're like, it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
She's, you know, yeah, it's done. We're not having sex. And I feel like a lot of people, once they get, you know, if they're living together or they get in that routine of being like parents or whatever, it can be hard for people to find that spark again.
Yeah,
how do we find the spark?
It is hard. Everyone is personal and at different experiences. So I think acknowledge that it's okay if you've lost your mojo a bit, you know, if you it's so common for, you know, at the beginning of a relationship to have that honeymoon phase. It's all really exciting. Mm. It's new experiences. There's so much spontaneity involved as well. Esther Perel, who I love, I mentioned earlier, she talks a lot about this, like how do we keep that spark alive? Mm. And she talks about like this balance between remaining close. There's like a level of closeness that you need in a relationship to maintain a level of intimacy and connection, but not too close that you lose that sense of independence.
Mm.
Because, you know, when two people become one person, there's not much more to understand about that person, about their inner world. And so she talks about that it's really important to keep that sense of mystery alive and spontaneity. So that can be like outside of the bedroom as well. It might be that you start just doing things that help you connect more, uh-huh. whatever that looks like for you, going on a date together. And I know it can be really hard when you've got kids and, you know, all the challenges that come with being time poor and career and all that. So I think it's just trying to make the time to reconnect with each other, because we know that good sex is really built on good connection and trust and respect for each other. So
I feel like we don't think about that, because when we think of, you know, regaining that spark, I think people would think, all right, let's just get into the bedroom and figure it out. But like, no, let's just strip it back and maybe go back to the real basics of just spending time together, whether that is outside of the house. And, you know, like me and Oscar have just put together a list of activities to do in summer now that footy's over.
Yeah,
like,
fun.
Do a pottery class.
Oh, nice.
A cocktail making class. Yeah. And just things like that that have a little bit of playfulness.
Exactly.
And I think will remind you of, yeah, the early stages of even hanging out.
Exactly. And then can bring it back to the bedroom as well and spice things up more. There's always something new to explore, if it's bringing sex toys for the first time into the bedroom, if it's bringing someone new into the bedroom with you as well. Like, there are so many different experiences and positions to explore as well. But I think, yeah, like going back to also outside of the bedroom and finding new ways to connect. I think a lot of people find that when they're on holiday, maybe, you know, when they feel less stressed, they're having some of the best sex ever. That's quite common. Like, they're just feeling more connected, and it's because you're doing new things and stepping outside of your routine.
Mm.
You know, I think when we're in this really like same routine every single day, it can get really repetitive. And so it's about mixing things up both in the bedroom and outside of the bedroom. And
we all could kind of maybe do with spending some time to not reset our expectations, but think about what our expectations are and how they do meet and align with whoever you are having sex with,
or
if you're not, just yourself, you know?
Definitely. I think it's really important to also ask yourself, if you're not having as much sex, let's say, as you would like I think the question is the sex that you are having even pleasurable? And if it's not pleasurable, that's the first thing. Like, even going back to thinking about our 20s, like when the sex that I was having wasn't about me, it wasn't pleasurable, so I didn't love it as much. Whereas now it's like, if I know that sex is going to be something that makes me feel really good, then I might want to engage in it more.
Yeah.
And so I think it is important to ask that question, like, is the experiences that you're having sexually, are they fulfilling and are they pleasurable? And if they're not, then maybe that's the first conversation to have with yourself or with your partner.
Yeah. So one, I really want to touch on this, because one blog post that I loved on the Libido website was, I didn't know there was three different types of erections.
How interesting.
I remember last year learning about, there was a study, and I spoke to this guy in Prague, this sex researcher, three different types of orgasm. It was like wave, volcano, can't remember the other one. Anyway, but when I read this blog post, can you please tell us about the three types of erections?
We wrote about this recently and people loved it.
Oh yeah.
It's fascinating. And this is also why I love this industry. There's always something new to learn.
Yeah.
I feel like my learning is constantly evolving as well. So there's three different types of erections. The first one is a psychogenic erection. So psycho comes from the Greek word meaning soul or your mind.
Right.
And genic refers to the genes in our body. So a psychogenic erection is a physical response to what's happening in your brain and in your mind. So if you're having like if you're watching something that's really arousing, like a sexy scene on a TV, or if you're listening to our erotic self-pleasure audios on our website, for example, and then you have an erection to that visual cue.
Yeah, okay.
What's going on in your mind. And then the second one is a nocturnal erection.
Is this during sleep?
So during sleep, right. Yes. And it usually happens in your deepest stage of sleep, which is your REM.
Yep. It's
like stage.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Four.
During your REM sleep, which also coincides when you have your most vivid dreams. So it's related to like wet dreams.
Yeah, right.
An involuntary response to your wet dreams.
Can I tell you something funny about wet dreams? So I remember so vividly, this was a family holiday in a caravan in Warrnambool one Easter. I would have been in primary school, pretty young. This is
I love where this is going.
So funny.
Have you thought about this like a long time? Is this like just
as soon as you said wet dreams, I was just like, not to speak on experience because it wasn't the kind of wet dream that you may think it was. I woke up and I was in my sleeping bag and it was wet and I was like, oh my God, did I just have a wet dream? And I like woke Mum up and I was like, Mum, I think I just had a wet dream.
You told her.
And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I've had a wet dream. And then she was like so confused and she comes over to my sleeping bag and it's piss. Yeah. I've just wet.
You just wet yourself.
I've just wet the sleeping bag. I just wet myself. And she's like, oh, I don't think
what did she say?
That's not a wet dream. I don't think that's not the wet dream that I think you might
different
think
kind
it
of
is.
Wet dream.
Yeah, but I remember having a dream about a river and I woke up and I was like, a wet dream. Oh. Oblivious to what wet dreams actually are. And what was the third one?
The third one is a reflexogenic response and that's like a response to being physically touch, like a physiological response to being touched on your genitals or your erogenous zone.
And I probably should have said at the start three types of erection. People are probably like, what do you mean? Like probably thinking different shapes. And
yeah.
Like,
so it's like, no. They all lead to just
bodily
the same
responses.
Yeah, different things. So the first one's going on in your mind, the second one in your sleep, and then the last one is a physical response.
So to kind of wrap up, I guess, how are you feeling about your 30s? Going back to you.
Oh, you know what? I feel like I'm feeling a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, you've had
I've had
wild introduction.
Yeah, I feel like
it's been a lot.
As I mentioned, it's that balance for me of like pleasure and pain, and that's kind of the constant that's going on in my life right now. Like I'm carrying and holding so much pain and grief that I'm working through, but at the same time, I almost feel like I'm just so passionate about the work that I'm doing and the space that I'm in, and you know, I've just got such amazing connections with the people around me. I think I just have a really clear idea of what's important to me right now. And that's come with being in my 30s as well. And I feel like so much more sure of myself and who I am and where I want to go and what I want out of my life.
Mm.
And, you know, sadly that's come from my experience of just seeing like how fragile life is as well.
Any final words for the topic of sexual wellness that you want people to kind of take from this episode?
Yeah, I think, you know, just don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Like, you know, it's pleasure is your human right. You know, we all deserve to feel good and take it at your own pace, whatever that looks like for you. And just add a little bit more pleasure in your life because it feels really good.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yay. Rach, thank you so much, not only for sharing, you know, so much insight on the sexual wellness space, but for also kind of opening up about your own life too. It's so appreciated and I'm sure it will help a lot of people. So thanks so much for coming over.
Thank you. And thanks for creating a really safe space to talk about it. It was so much fun. Yeah.
Therapy dog.
Therapy bully. I feel like I'm in my therapy session right now.
Sorry. Now, I really hope you got something out of that conversation. I know I definitely did, and I'm so glad we could finally get a sex episode up in this for Figuring Out 30. Go check out Libido. I've got the website link in the show notes of this episode. And Rachel has also been super kind to offer a discount code for the Essential Vibe. So at the checkout, just put in FO30, which stands for Figuring Out 30.
FO30. That'll get you $30 off the Essential Vibe. So all the details that you need are in the show notes of this episode. I'm Bridget Hussway. Thank you so much for listening to Figuring Out 30. It's an entirely independent project created on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. If you like what you're hearing, a review, a rating, a share with your friends would mean the world. And I'll catch you next week. Bye.